The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Welcome to the Free Library of Philadelphia Online. My name is Jason Freeman. I'm a producer, editor here in the Free Library's author events office. It's my honor to be here tonight to introduce tonight's author, the nephew of a beloved neighborhood barber. West Philadelphian Antonio M. Johnson is the creator of You Next, a pictorial dive into one of African American men's most valued institutions. Part sanctuary, part cultural space, barbershops signify transformation, affirmation, and aspiration. Exploring these physical and intellectual salons all over the country, You Next is an amalgam of photos, essays, and interviews. A graduate of Baltimore's Morgan State University and now a resident of Atlanta, Mr. Johnson has seen his photos exhibited at the Hamilton Landmark Gallery in Harlem and the Brooklyn Academy of Music, among other places. I'll be back in a few minutes to help facilitate that Q&A, but in the meantime, Antonio, the screen is all yours.
Hi everyone, I'm Antonio Johnson. I am a visual artist and I am the author of You Next, Reflections in Black Barbershops. You Next, Reflections in Black Barbershops is a photo book that explores the ways in which Black barbershops throughout the country operate as sites for the cultivation of identity and wellness for Black men in America. It is a project that I have spent the last 4 years or so working on to create. Back in 2016, I went to the famous Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York, one night to see a comedy show that was headlined by Hannibal Buress and Chris Rock. And at the show, Hannibal Buress made this remark that was kind of just like stuck in between a few jokes, where he talked about how sometimes he felt depressed, but just really needed a haircut. And I think I might've been the only person in the entire theater that really, really resonated with, and it stuck with me. And it just made me think about all of the times that I felt completely transformed by haircut. And it made me think about all of the special moments that I spent with my mom's youngest brother, who was a barber, and the weekends that I would go to the barbershops with my dad to get our haircuts. And it was just truly, truly phenomenal and such a special moment. So You Next was brought out of all of those thoughts and all of those ideas. And I have always loved art. I've always loved photography. I've always loved media. And when it was time for me to go to college, I studied broadcasting at Morgan State University in Baltimore. And from there, I just had the greatest opportunities to be close to art. And that's how You Next was started. I grew up in Philly, born and raised there. I was born in the North Philadelphia section, but my family moved when I was about seven to West Philly. And I went to school all of my life from like first grade through 12th grade in South Philly. So all of, you know, the private school, the Catholic school, St. John Newman and Maria Goretti Catholic High School is where I got most of my high school education. And it was such a great experience for me because I got a chance to really see many different sides of the city, but also meet so many different interesting people from all over the city by going to those schools. And it really taught me a great ideas and great examples of just order and structure that I feel like has served me so well. I remember waking up really early in the morning as a kid to catch the school bus to go from West Philly to South Philly at like 6:30, and I would hate it, but it kind of became, you know, very useful for me in my life, because now I can't sleep past seven. but that was my time growing up in Philly. And like I said, I went to college at Morgan State in Baltimore. And from there, I studied broadcasting. I had dreams of becoming a CNN anchor, headlining the news. And I tried out a lot of different things like that. And I even tried my hand at radio broadcasting, where I interned at Radio One Philadelphia, where I met so many incredible people who have to this day helped guide me and my career on the trajectory that it is. So I have to shout out Renard Odrick at Radio One, Laia St. Clair, and Deanna Williams, who have all been very, very instrumental in helping me get all this stuff going. So like I said, I've always wanted to be in media. And, you know, once I graduated from college, I moved to New York because I wanted to be right in the throes of where all of the magic was happening, all of the very special, you know, moments in television where things were happening. And I started working as a talent handler in reality TV on some huge shows I'm not going to mention, not all of them, but some really big shows where I got a chance to meet so many different people and really get a really strong grasp on what it meant to make entertainment and make great television. And I found myself always being very, very close and very proximate to the decision-making, but not having full control to do that. So I did that for about 5 or 6 years. And then I left the world of television to a more structured corporate role as a talent and influencer relations manager, whatever you have it, which is where at Time Inc., where I worked to help celebrities or influencers or everyday heroes to some degree be partnered with different brands to promote whatever it is that the brands had in mind. So I've worked with everyone from like brands from Chase Bank to Capital One, to Wendy's, all types of things. And it was really fun because it gave me opportunity again to like really showcase my talent in connecting people, but also coming up with different creative ideas to make people feel like they wanted to buy something or to be a part of something really special or really cool. And I had so much fun doing all of those things, but I really, really, really wanted to have an opportunity again, like I said, to control, you know, the art that I was creating and really come up with an idea from, or see an idea through from the beginning to end that was solely my own. And the barbershop has always been one of those places where I've felt, extremely home, and I felt very much like I was, you know, seen, I was heard, and it was, you know, cultivating me to be the man that I am today. So many of the conversations that I would hear in the barbershop still stick with me, and the lessons that I learned there just by picking up on different conversations from people, they stuck with me. So on a trip to Cuba, I had my camera with me. It was a film camera, a Canon, and I found myself just taking snapshots of literally anything, everybody that would allow me to take their photo. And one of the things that I naturally just had a love for was all of the small corner at home barbershops that just were all over Old Havana. And it really reminded me of those times being at home. It reminded me of those times where I would just be sitting down in the barbershop looking through old magazines of, you know, Ebony or Jet, or looking at all of the style guides and imagining who these people were and looking at them as like real possibility models for who I could one day become. And I was just blown away by so many of the limited resources, right, that so many of these barbers had. So many of them were cutting hair with just a pair of scissors or a razor and a comb, but they had these like impeccable fades that were just like dynamic, that I really wanted to highlight and really felt really drawn to. So I, you know, took all those photos, and every day I would go back to my Airbnb and kind of just like write down what I was thinking and, you know, what I was feeling and what those thoughts were to me. At the time I was also reading, some pieces of Black literature where barbershops were, appearing. And I had the idea, what if I took the photos that I had at different barbershops and connected them to pieces of Black literature where barbershops appeared. And I was like, oh, this is a great idea. Like it seems like something that I can do very easily. And, you know, as I was talking to people and sharing with folks my ideas, so many of them, you know, kind of encouraged me to like push the idea further. And I did. And the idea became, what if I take all of these original images of barbershops throughout the country, throughout the US, and tie them to pieces of literature of new writers, of new thinkers, of new, you know, people who we really haven't heard too much from that have something to say about the space and about what the importance and about what it means to them. And that is how You Next came to be. You Next is both a question that you hear in the barbershop when you come in. You know, someone will ask you, you know, are you next? You know, when you're waiting, your barber will often tell you that you're next, that you are next. But also, You Next is a charge, it's an invocation to be next, to be the best at whatever it is you would like to be. And I feel like so many moments in my life, so many of the huge, significant moments in my life, right, have been centered around going to the barbershop to get my haircut. So when I think about, you know, my eighth grade graduation, where I first met my long-term barber, who is still my barber to this day, G, in West Philly. When I think about my proms and all of the like school dances that I went to and, you know, wanting to be super fresh and fly. When I think about graduating from college, all of those, you know, big moments, you know, started with me getting my haircut and me going through that chair and turning into a new person. And that's kind of how You Next began. So it is a photographic exploration for all of the ways in which Black barbershops serve their communities through the lens of identity and wellness. I have to take a moment to thank you all for joining me this evening to share a little bit about my book and my work. It means so much of me to be here with you all through the Free Library of Philadelphia. I remember as a kid going on field trips to the library and being amazed at all of the worlds that I could enter through the joys of reading. And the exposure to so many different, you know, thoughts and ideas and, you know, places that you can just dream of by opening a book. And so all of these years later, to be here virtually, you know, is very exciting and it means so much to me. And I'm so happy and honored to have this opportunity. So I'd like to thank the Free Library of Philadelphia. I'd like to thank all of you for joining. I would also like to give a shout out to the CBW of the Free Library. I stand in solidarity with you all. I know that this is an interesting time for many of us, but I'm happy that you all could join us. So with that being said, I would love to start sharing a few images of the book with you guys so you can see. And if you guys have any questions at any point, please feel free to ask them in the chat. Please feel free to write any comments that you might have so that we can have an open and honest conversation about how special and important the barbershop is for so many of us. I feel like I've grown up in barbershops. You know, I would, like I said, I would go to the barbershop sometimes with my mom's youngest brother, Jason, who was a barber, who also went to Cheney University. And I would like just watch him and be just amazed at like how cool he was and just thinking like, I want to be just like him. And in the barbershop, I got that opportunity. And then, you know, I would go with my dad to, you know, to see his barber, and his barber was this older gentleman named Mr. Leon, who had a Jerry curl, who was, you know, an everyday working man, but was a leader and a pillar in his community. And I would pick up on these conversations about, you know, who my dad was outside of just being my dad. And I thought that was a great way for me to learn about who he was, because, you know, as a kid, you know, your parents as, you know, the disciplinarians, they, you know, keep you in line, you know, they are, you know, not really your friend, but they are, you know, these beings that are like sometimes fun and sometimes they just like, you know, get you together. But my dad had all of these full life experiences that I learned about through the barbershop. And I always thought that was very, very special and very significant. And, you know, one of the things about You Next is that I think is really important is that it gives us all the opportunity to reimagine what the spaces that we love so much are and what they can be. And for me, you know, as most people, you know, with kids or most people would know, growing up, you oftentimes have just school and home, right? Those are the places that you, you know, go to all the time. And but the importance and the necessity of having a third space and how crucial that is for the development of any person, the barbershop was that for me. And I'm very happy about that. So I'm going to start with sharing a little bit of the images. Also, I would like to, if I can, if this is okay, I would like to shout out Sherilyn Kimball and also her son Julian Kimball contributed a beautiful essay called 2 + 2 = 5 to You Next. It talks about the sometimes, you know, crazy conversations and the sometimes often interesting logic that happens in the barbershop that only exists within that space. But when I talked about those field trips to the Free Library of Philadelphia, as a kid, I attended the Caring Center, which is a preschool in the Philadelphia area. And that's where from there I would go to the Free Library on field trips to see things. And she's here and I wanted to say hello. Someone else is asking, how can we capture your love of learning and life so our youth can succeed? Denise, that's a great question. I think that, you know, there are many opportunities for us to develop and cultivate our love of learning and passion for, you know, finding things out and exploring things and discovering things. The barbershop is a great place for that. One, because you get a chance to hear so many different influences from people of all different types of age groups, which I feel like is really, really special and really significant, because the common thread that you have is that you all go to the barbershop, but you get a chance to just listen and you get a chance to ask questions. And that is something that's really special, and barbershops should continue and highlight and want to help young people succeed, and many of them do. For example, Alvin Irby is a gentleman that created a company, a nonprofit organization called Barbershop Books. And so what that organization does, he contributed an essay to the book, but what that organization does is they share books for young people to read while they're waiting for haircuts in a barbershop. And, you know, sometimes you can just go in there and let your kids, you know, talk to your barber, talk to their barber about the books that they've read, just to keep that love and that passion growing. All right, so I'm going to start with a little bit of the photos. So the first image that you see is the very, is the cover image. It is a image that I just love so much. From the moment I took it, I knew that I wanted it to be the cover for You Next. It was taken in Atlanta, Georgia. So it's the hand of a barber by the name of Donald Perry, who was holding a client's head who was getting the haircut. He's at the point of the shave and the lineup or shape up, whatever you have it. This image reminds me of so many different things. As an artist, it makes me think about you know, all the times that I would spend in church as a kid, and I would see people have hands laid upon them, you know, for prayer and for things like that. And this image evokes all of that. There are these, you know, elements of a haircut of the barbershop that are deeply spiritual and deeply ritualistic that I feel like is really important to share and showcase. And this is one of them. And later on in this presentation, you will see another way that that is exemplified, especially through the great city that we love, Philadelphia. This is a image that was taken outside of Los Angeles. It is an exterior image. The exterior is of the Fun House Barbershop that is owned and operated by Michael Elton Casey in LA. This barbershop is a very beautiful, and it's like a wonderland, right? But oftentimes, the exterior images that we see of barbershops are the images that we first see to bring us and invite us all in. And this, when I saw this for the very first time, I was like, I have to go inside to see what the Fun House is all about. I love this exterior. It's probably one of the most lively signs that I've seen of a barbershop. And it's probably one of my favorite images just because of the, if I can brag, of the beautiful composition. This is an image that was taken outside of Detroit of brothers who are all barbers, just taking a break. One of the things that I'm so reminded of when I look through these images, and this one specifically, is of how welcoming and how inviting so many of these shops were to me. I should also mention too, I don't know how this left me, but to start the book, I launched a Kickstarter and I had a goal of, it was a very modest goal. In retrospect, I should have probably raised a little bit higher, but a goal of $10,000 to just help me get this started. And so many people within my community of Philly, so many people throughout the country, friends, family, associates, people that just were forwarded my Kickstarter information, shared and donated to make this happen. And you know, my community really helped make this book possible, but it was the communities like this in Detroit. It was the communities like this in LA or Oakland or New Orleans or Chicago that really helped make you next what it is. The barbershop is a community institution. It is the one of the oldest institutions in the country that we have. And when I see this image, I'm reminded of how strong that community is, how welcoming that community is, and how important it is for us to keep it alive. This is an image that really takes me back to being a kid. You know, I talked about looking at the style guys in the barbershop. And, you know, looking at these guys as like possibility models. This was at a barbershop in the Germantown area. There's these old school guides that have probably been here since like the 90s. But they speak to, one, who we are, who we were, what we looked like at the time, and just a snapshot. As to Black men and how we represent and present ourselves. I talked about how the barbershop was these possibility models, and in all of these small boxes, someone saw themselves, their future selves. Someone saw who they were at the moment. And I feel like that is just so special. And you don't get a chance to have that opportunity, you know, that much. You know, in the places that you go to, because, you know, normally, you know, everybody's all already established, but in the barbershop, you have the opportunity to grow into who it is you want to be. And the style guy is one of the great opportunities. And if you look here, you'll see the prices, the price points for a haircut. And, you know, I don't know how many of y'all go to the barbershop today, but haircuts are no longer $14. I got a haircut today after, a very long time not having a haircut because of the COVID, concerns. But I would love to pay $14 for a haircut again. Corey Lackey is a barber that I met in Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana is interesting because I'll tell you a little bit. I was in Chicago at the time, and I had traveled to Gary on the day of Michael Jackson's birthday to go see his like childhood home. It was a 45-minute drive. Why not? But while I was there, I was like, it would be also cool to check out some Gary, Indiana barbershops. And Lackey's, Corey, which is owned and ran by Corey Lackey, was the first barbershop that I went to there. And it was really awesome because he was a young guy who was an aspiring artist, musician, who had turned this former, you know, garage into a barbershop. His dad helped him. His dad worked in the steel plants there. Gary, Indiana, for anyone who knows, had one of the largest steel plant industries in the country. But as time has gone on, those plants have closed down. And so many people have lost their jobs and their, you know, access to money, really. And for the people who do have access to jobs and, you know, who just need a haircut, Corey Lackey has opened his doors for all of those guys there. And it was really significant and really special to be able to photograph him and to meet with him and just chat. One of the things that I thought was like really special about going into this barbershop, especially in Gary, was that, talk about the style guys, I'll talk about it one more time. I feel like this is the last time. There were all these style guys that I was like, oh, I've seen this in Atlanta, or I've seen this in Detroit, or I've seen this, in Miami. And the guy was like, there was a guy in the barbershop who said, you know, all of these style guides were shot here in Gary. And I was like, that's impossible. And he was like, no, Gary, Indiana has a huge barbershop culture. And I went to the shop later on that day where all of the haircuts were cut and all of the photographs were shot. And that's where the style guides were. And little did I know, Gary, Indiana was influencing so many of the ways we present ourselves. Also, I want to, I don't think I did it before, but you next explored about 12 different cities throughout the country. So Gary, Indiana, Philadelphia, of course, right? Gotta love our hometown. DC, Chicago, New York, LA, Oakland, New Orleans, a few other ones are missing because I just forgot them at the top of right now, but they'll come back to me. But those were the top ones that I went to visit. So this image here is probably one of my favorite portraits that I've taken of a barber. Whenever I would go into a shop, it was always really important for me to photograph the barbers. I had this long-standing tradition whenever I would go to a barbershop after shooting with them to ask for a barber to pose either in their chair or just in the space as if they had just received a haircut. And this image is so special because it is of Kijana Mahdi, who is this older gentleman who's from New Orleans, but lives in LA. He's been there for decades, but he has a barbershop called Magnificent Brothers. And he recently had a mural in the barbershop commissioned after the style of Ernie Barnes. You know, if y'all have ever seen Good Times, this painting in the barbershop was inspired by that, and the artist is Ernie Barnes, of just a barbershop sequence just in that style. And I love it because he has so much style, his eyes are so piercing and wise, and he talked about his, you know, love of music, love of art, and love of just creating and having a space to give back to, having a space to offer people to present themselves as, you know, as they would like to be. And Magnificent Brothers is a great barbershop. If you're ever in the LA area, check out Kijana Mahdi. Love this image. This image is taken at Hyde Park Hair Salon in Chicago. It is the barbershop where President Obama went when he moved to Chicago. His barber still operates there. But these two young kids, they were fraternal twins, had just gotten a haircut. And I had been taking photographs, you know, throughout the afternoon there, and I saw them. And they're looking at me, and my camera is like at my like chest level. And I was just talking to them about them crying hysterically while they were in the chair. And I was, you know, saying, like, you know, why were you crying? Why were you so upset? And they were basically saying, we weren't crying. We were fine. But they were waiting here to get some money from their dad to buy some candy. And, you know, the barbershop for kids is a place to explore, right? It's a place to really have an opportunity to see things and to get into things and to question things and to, you know, touch things and all that stuff. I am certain that the barbershop has touched them in some ways. And if you look really closely, I don't know how good your screens are, but there behind them are images of Barack Obama touching a young kid's head. I just love this image so much because their faces and their eyes are just so full of potential. And I think that, you know, again, barbershop is a great space for potential and to the cultivation of that. And I just hope the world for these two young boys. For anyone who's ever gone to the barbershop, who's ever gotten a haircut, you know how sometimes you might get a little nick here or, you know, you have to, you know, kind of close your eyes and concentrate on trying to not move. And here's a kid who is closing his eyes very, very tight while he gets a haircut. His legs are crossed and right in front of him is another young kid who looks a little bit more relaxed, just showing how, you know, different perspectives, different feelings, different emotions inside the shop. But I love this image, taking this outside of Chicago as well. This image is taken in Philly. It's probably one of my favorite images. This image was for a very long time on display at the Hartsfield-Jackson Airport here in Atlanta. The young kid was getting ready to go on an eighth grade dance, and Fahim Alexander, who is a Philadelphia legend in the barbershop world, he's cut everyone who is anyone of prominence. He's cut their hair. So he's a great guy, great, you know, great friend of mine now at this point. But he is, this young kid was running late. And his mom was like, you know, Fahim, we really got to go. His dance is coming up. I have things to work on at the house. And Fahim was like, you know, I don't really want to rush this opportunity for him. So you go ahead and I'll pay for an Uber for him to get home so that I can take my time. And I just love the way that this image shows how young people, or how people just generally, can be cared for in the barbershop through the tenderness of touch, of the holding of the head, of keeping his head up, his eyes, you know, looking upward. And I find that to be really special. And this is probably one of my favorite images. It's probably, so I started shooting You Next officially in Philly in June of 2018. And this was probably like the fifth picture that I took. And yeah, it's probably one of my favorites. It is also in the book. Here is a barber who is at Frank's Place Barbershop in Chicago. He saw me taking a few portraits inside the shop and was like, take a picture of me. And this is what we got. I love it because he's, you know, just very relaxed, but giving me, you know, that look, that smirk. I love this one because, you know, this kid is here so still and so, you know, like a statue, but you see his barber's kind of like in motion to some degree, and the sheen, the detail, the spray, he's being enveloped by the sheen, this process of making you shine, this process of making your hair glow. It was really cool to capture that. So, yeah. One of the things about the barbershop that I love, that I was really happy to capture, especially in this image here, is the stillness that is made in the barbershop. And so this image here is of a young man who, just one frame earlier, that picture, if you get the book, you'll see that this picture is one of two. This is the second of the first of that set. But his first set, his eyes were closed and just in his meditative state. And he realized that I was taking an image, picture. And he just lightly, ever so lightly, slightly opened up his eye. And, you know, we made that connection. And one of the things about photography that I love is the confrontation between the photographer, the camera, and the subject. And this is one of those moments that shows a little bit of confrontation. Not all confrontation is bad. This is an example of that. For many people, the barbershop is a space of, you know, opportunity, of entrepreneurship. You know, for anyone who's been in the space, you know that there's always guys, kids who come in to get their, or to sweep hair, or to, you know, go on runs for different barbers to get food or anything like that. Here is a young man who's sweeping hair one afternoon in Washington, D.C. at a barbershop called A Sharper Image. And I just love this photo of, you know, because of the composition and all that stuff, but also the light and just showing this trail of hair, which gives you the history of how many people have been here throughout this time. And that trail goes all the way to the back of the room. And he's getting it all together. So I thought that was interesting. These experiences, right? Our hair holds experiences. Our hair holds stories and ideas and the places that we've, you know, been to and all that stuff. And, you know, getting it cut sometimes, you know, we shed those things. And that's all being swept away. But, you know, for young kids after school in the summertime, you know, on Christmas or holiday breaks and all that stuff, the barbershop is a great space to earn some cash. And this was one of the ways that I was able to show that. So we love the barbershop for all of the ways that it makes us, you know, fresh and groomed and all that stuff. But also the barbershop is a place where we can go to go for healing, go to be whole. And what's evident for so many of us is that the barbershop is the place that so many of us go to no matter where we are in life, no matter where we live, we make a stop in the barbershop. But what we don't always have access to is healthcare. What we don't always have access to is our career paths that allow for us to, you know, have access to healthcare. And what the barbershop is now is an opportunity to fill that void. So at Benny Adeem in Oakland, California, a barber here is seen reading the blood pressure of one of his clients, because what they know is that, you know, you don't always have an opportunity to go to the barbershop, but what you do have an opportunity to do is you don't always have an opportunity to go to the doctors, but you always have an opportunity to go to the barbershop. And we can be that, we can fill that spot. They've teamed up with doctors in the area to help them look for the early signs of diabetes or hypertension, what signs to check out for by just talking with their clients so that they can put them in the best possible position to receive the best healthcare that they need. And, you know, how amazing is it that, you know, policies and things like that get in the way of healthcare, but the barbershop can fill that void. And when I talked earlier about reimagining what the space can be, this is one of those opportunities. You know, we just got off, or maybe we're still in, a very contentious election cycle. And, you know, for many people around the country, their places of polling are not the same. They've closed or they've moved. And, you know, it might take people a little bit longer to get there and, you know, all of those things. But the barbershop could be that. And we've seen some evidence of that in Philly through a program called the Knight Foundation. So, you know, I want for people to look at you next, but to also think about all of the ways in which they can reimagine it to better serve their communities and to keep filling those voids to make sure that our communities are taken care of in the best way possible. And I think the barbershop can do that. And I'll say this, the barbershop is not a perfect space, right? No place is. However, it has the capacity to be. And yeah. I think that if we keep that in mind, we can do some cool things. Here's a barber who is cutting his own hair. This is my barber, G. Garrett. He goes by G, the barber, but his name is Garrett Hall. He's cutting his own hair. And I took this of him one afternoon in December of 2018. And I just love this. I've always seen him cut his hair sometime in between cuts, and I never had a chance to photograph it, and I got the opportunity through working on You Next to do that. This image, I talked a little bit earlier about the rituals of religion and all that stuff, but Philly, as we all know, is a culturally Islamic city, and, you know, my barber is a Muslim, and in between cuts, he often takes the time to pray. It was really important for him to be in a barbershop that gave him that opportunity. And I'm very happy to be able to show to the world what that looks like. And here he is, you know, one afternoon praying for the afternoon prayer that he is required to make. So I just love this image for that. One of the very special things about UNext is that I was able to go into the Fulton County Jail here in Atlanta because I wanted to see if the same magic, right, that I knew of, that I felt when I got my hair cut was evident inside of the confinements of a jail. And doing my research, I'll be quick, I was made aware that oftentimes in prisons, you're not always allowed to cut your hair in different ways because it can be seen as a security risk. And I was like, I mean, that doesn't seem fair. But I really wanted to know what it was like to for guys who were in jail, what they felt like to not have a haircut, but then to have a haircut. And so here is a young man who was getting his haircut to go in front of a jury, to go in front of a judge. And, you know, he, as well as the barbers, talked about how important it was for, you know, those guys to have haircuts, to go in front of, you know, a judge and a jury to show that they, you know, were worthy of an opportunity. I'll say this, I did not get into the specifics of any cases with anyone based on the agreement that I had with the jail. However, you know, all of these people had not been convicted of anything. All of these people that I photographed at the time were either awaiting trial, you know, for something or were, you know, waiting to post bail. And I just wanted to know what it was for them to get a haircut. And many of them talked about not feeling human because many of them have waited more than 90 days to get a haircut. And that time had finally come and you could see the light return to their eyes as they received their haircut. And I just love these images so much because I got an opportunity to see people who are oftentimes forgotten and left up to the margins. Rituals, again, here is a young man who every time he comes to the barbershop, he picks up some weights and does them. I'll say this, he has autism and this is a part of his ritual. This is a part of something that he always looks forward to in the barbershop, you know, is able to do that. And I just love that. I was talking to some barbers in the back and they were like, look, and I was able to, you know, always have my camera ready. So I just got to, you know, turn to the side and walked over, you know, a little bit and got this image. And I love it because it's, the way that it's composed, but also you get these levels. You get a chance to see what's happening with him, but also through the reflection, you get a chance to see a young man getting a haircut and also President Obama, who is probably, after Muhammad Ali, the most visible person in barbershops. So Muhammad Ali, President Obama, Martin Luther King sometimes, but LeBron is very heavy in the barbershop. So those are the top four. After a haircut, you smile, you laugh. It was also really important for me to be able to show some of the women who were inside the barbershops. Women have been in the barbershops from the beginning of time. I am often reminded of whenever I see a woman in there, my mom taking me to the barbershop sometimes to see my uncle. But also, you know, Zora Neale Hurston was a manicurist inside of the barbershop for a few years. Bessie Coleman, who is the famed pilot got her pilot license from someone who was in the barbershop. So women have a very long history of being in the barbershop. They have a very long history of being barbers. They are not forgotten in the barbershop. And this image, I feel like, is really important to show that they are there and that they are welcome and that there's, you know, space for them. And if you can see in the back, that is Muhammad Ali. One of the things that is beautiful about, or was beautiful about traveling all over the country to see, to work on this book, was I got a chance to meet generations of barbers, of people who had passed down one shop to their kids or to their, you know, nephews or, you know, whoever. And here are the owners of Dixon's Barbershop in Detroit, and Seven Mile. Dixon is the father, who is the first person that you see, and then his son is in the back. And again, like I said, it was really important for me to ask for barbers to pose themselves in the position that they would be in after they got a cut, just to show some like cool, you know, who am I? And this is that. Love this one. This is out in LA. This guy who never got off the phone the entire time I was in there. I asked him to come in and he just like shooed me to like, yeah, do whatever. And he just sat there on the phone and talked and chatted the entire time in Lemire Park, which is a very historically Black district in LA. Again, you see style guides. This was before Kobe passed. So Kobe's there. President Obama again. And this is an image in Atlanta of an older gentleman sitting inside the window. And I just love this like silhouette of him just being reflective. And this is the last image in the slide. This is of Kenneth Hogan of East Oakland, at the time, 78 years old. He is enveloped, right? He is in what many people would say a mess, right? He's in just a very cluttered station that is filled with books on top of books and books and books. You'll even see, like, if you look closely, that there are like cans of like oil sheens stuck in between books. But he loves to read. He loves to inspire people who come into the shop to learn something while they're there. And, you know, throughout all this time, he's accumulated so many books that he just can't keep up with them. But I love this image because this guy is getting a haircut there. And as he's holding up these mirrors, from our perspective, right, he can't see his haircut because he's just stuck with all these books. And I just love this image so, so much. But Kenneth Hogan was incredibly welcoming and very nice man to talk to. He from Natchez, Mississippi. And he, you know, gave me a book to look at while I was there, a newspaper, and just chat. He was a former artist and loves to read and cut hair. So that concludes my slideshow. I would love to turn it to Jason to continue our conversation.
Hey, thank you. That was incredible. There's some great questions here so far. I will tell people that to the chat, I sent a link to the book, which you can get from an independent bookstore here in Philly. Instead of just off of Amazon, but whatever your pleasure is. So I saw a question here I was wondering about when I saw the image too, but Linda asks, I love the black and white photography. Is there a specific purpose for that? Just to kind of, let's, yeah.
First of all, Linda, that's a great question. I'm glad that you brought that up because initially, I shot all of the images in the beginning, at least, on film. And that was, I love film. I love the magic of film. I love the texture of the grain and all that stuff. However, In traveling, it was really difficult to keep up with so much film. So I decided to move everything digitally. And in the process of doing that, because there are so many great light sources, whether it be natural or from just the structure of the barbershop, and so many rich and beautiful skin tones that we have, I felt like it would be really beautiful to connect all of these things together through the process of making everything black and white, to just share and showcase some uniformity in all of the spaces and places that I went to. And that's how we got to the black and white selection.
Cool. Donovan had that question also, and he also asks, and I think this is stepping into a minefield, but which city has the strongest barbershop culture? I know you talked about Gary there for a second, and I don't know if you want to touch this one, but he follows up and says, which one has the best barbers? That seems dangerous, but.
Well, I feel like I'm in a very safe space, so I have to say Philly. Philly has the best barbers, especially when it comes to the craftsmanship. There is no other place like it. If you go to LA, if you go to Detroit, if you go to Miami, wherever you go, people will tell you that they have been inspired by at least one Philadelphia barber. So that's that. Chicago also has a very, very rich, deep barbershop culture and history. Also Atlanta, but y'all know it's no place like home.
Well, that's a great segue to this question. Sandra Lindsay asks, have you felt guilty for, and this is in quotation marks, cheating on your barber, going to another barber and liking their styling better? Has this happened to you?
Nope. Yeah. Okay. Sandra Lindsay, first of all, thank you. Much love to you. Thank you for being here. So yes, I've felt guilty many times, but only if I was not sure that the barber that I was going to wasn't, like, if I wasn't confident in that barber, that's when I would feel the most guilty. But if I knew, you know, that barber's reputation or how good they were, I would kind of be a little bit okay. But, you know, we have this really crazy relationship with our barbers. We really have this rich and deep loyalty that is really important for us to maintain. So when we, go to another one, it can be dangerous. I will share this really brief story. Once when I was in college, I could not get in touch with my barber. And I had come home to Philly, and it was like tight. Like, I had waited to the last minute to get my haircut because I just knew that he would be able to cut my hair. He was not. I had to go to a hair cuttery, major mistake, to get my haircut. And it was like maybe a $10 haircut, but I had to pay $20 to get it fixed. So that was kind of my end to cheating on my barber, if you will.
Well, kind of dovetailing a lot of things we've been talking about, and I know this has to be on everybody's mind. Sort of like when you watch anything that's, you know, a year or more older now, you know, like people in a stadium or on a train, you're thinking, oh my God, they can't be next to each other. There's COVID. And I look at those pictures and, you know, it's a very intimate setting. I was wondering throughout, if you could talk about a little bit how COVID has changed the nature of the barbershop, you know, financially, culturally, safety-wise, all of that stuff.
Yeah. So, I feel very blessed to have had the foresight to create U-Next pre-COVID. So we got a chance to see the barbershop as it was, right? Who was there? And it's very likely that we may not see the barbershop go back to that for a very long time. And so, you know, this is a very timely book in that sense. But, you know, COVID has changed the barbershop's culture, the nature of the barbershop in so many ways. Many barbershops have had to close. Many barbers have unfortunately lost their lives because they've been exposed to the virus, as well as the clientele. You know, the barbershop has always been a place where people could just be and hang out to some degree. And with this virus, we have, that doesn't exist anymore. So what we've seen for the, you know, for the shops that have opened, we've seen that there is a mandatory mask, protocol. There are limited people who can be in the barbershop at once. But for many people, the business model of the barbershop has moved to appointment-based only, right? You can't come into the barbershop unless you have an appointment. And I think that that is something that we're going to continue to see, only because too, you know, so many of our lives have changed and we want to be on a schedule because, you know, time is money. We're all working in different industries and different businesses and things look very different now. So I think that for many of us, we'll see much more or many more instances where the barbershops have appointments. However, too, I think about all of the countries that I visited abroad. You know, Senegal, I think about Thailand, I think about Cuba, I think about Colombia, you know, Egypt, right? There are these examples of people cutting hair outside in the open air. And I think that that's a model that we can all kind of piggyback on and, you know, follow up on in combating this virus, but still being able to have that experience. So we'll see.
Okay. Thanks. Sandra, by the way, says, as a single parent, I often took my sons to the barbershop and stayed while they got haircuts. This book brought back memories. Yeah, there is great nostalgia to the book, too. It's seeping from it. I love that. Got time for a couple more questions. Zach Klassen says, great presentation and great eye. I think this is more of a technical question. He's asking, do you use the same gear each time or change up based on location or idea? What's your gear like?
So it was really important for me to be, I want to say discreet, but also I didn't want to intimidate anybody in the barbershop. I didn't want them to think like, oh my gosh, this guy is here with this huge camera. So for me, I had a Leica 109 that was just very small here at my chest at all times that I could use. You know, like I said before, I spent a lot of time shooting with film. So I would have, you know, maybe two film cameras with me in some shops. But as time went on, I felt like it was best to simplify and have one piece of equipment that could do everything that I needed to do and go from there. So I use a Leica 109, no flash at any point, all manual, and that's what we got.
Cool. I think this is a good way to sort of segue to the finish line here, a good final question. I was reading something in the Inquirer and a few other spaces where you said that you want to continue with your art and photograph spaces that feel like home to you. Well, could you give us, I mean, not that you have to tell us your next project or anything like that. That's always the worst question to ask any artist, but can you talk about some of those spaces that you're interested in exploring?
Yeah. So I love the, like I said, the concepts of home and healing. I like to find places where people can feel whole. I think that is the main point here. So I, you know, grew up going to a Black church. I would love to continue photographing the Black church to some degree. However, I'm really interested right now in exploring spiritual practices that relate to the element of water. So that is where most of my focus is at the moment, but always interested in concepts of home and healing, whether it be through photography, whether it be through short film that I want to create. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I feel like that's very, very vague answer, but I don't really want to give too much of what I'm working on away because it's still in the infancy stages. And I don't want to do anything prematurely?
Right. No, it's always a tough question and an even tougher answer, I'm sure. Well, unfortunately, we have come to the end, but thank you so much for talking with us. The book is called You Next. For everybody at home, keep reading, keep tuning in, and good night. And thank you so much again, Antonio.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. Like I said, it's a great honor to be with you all virtually and to share this project with you all. You Next is honestly a labor of love that I was so happy to bring in so many people to do. So there is a list of, you know, this book is not just all of my photography. It is also essays by some really brilliant writers and brilliant thinkers. You know, we talked about Julian Kimball, who's from Philly. We talked about me, but, you know, Zach Cheney Rice, Dr. David Wall Rice, Mayor Michael Tubbs of Stockton, California, shared a great Q&A with me about his time growing up in a barbershop and how important it was for his barber to kind of like shape his image from the beginning stages of his career as mayor to what it is now, and how his hair has changed throughout that process. Because oftentimes for many of us, our hair is seen as a political thing. So, you know, that was great to have Donovan X. Ramsey. So many great and awesome contributors that I'm very happy to have in the book, but also some really cool people that are also photographed in the book as well. So I got a chance to go to Montgomery, Alabama to meet with Dr. King's barber, and there's a portrait of him inside the book. There's a portrait of President Obama's barber in the book because I went to his barbershop as well. So the book is full of just so many great resources and stories and just moments that are evident in, you know, barbershops throughout the country. And while we might not go back to them the way that they were, we got a chance to see how they are. And I feel like that is, that's very, very special and significant.
It is. Well, thank you again. And everyone, the holidays are right around the corner. So go and pick up You Next. And
it's a perfect size for the holidays.
Perfect size. All right, have a good night. Thank you again.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.